Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Sunday. My name is Ajane Mason, and I'll be your host for today's show. This program is brought to you by the International Mastermind Association. Please visit their website at www.internationalmastermindersassociation.com. Joining me today will be my co-host, Natasha. We will be interviewing Dr. Betty W. Knighton, minister, author, publisher, and majestic speaker. Welcome, Dr. Knighton. Please tell us more about who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Anjane. Thank you, Natasha. As you said, I am a minister of Christian education, a business executive, an entrepreneur. I do motivational speaking, keynote addresses, team building sessions. I am also a masterminder. I am an author, a publisher, and a motivational speaker, and I am delighted to be on your Blog Talk Radio this afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. Okay, well, I guess we're going to get started. Okay, what, in your opinion, is the motivation for most authors in deciding to write a book? Is it fame, fortune, or something else?
Well, it could be a combination of those. Some people write a book because they would like to have fame. In other words, they would love to be famous and have everybody know about them. But there's some people who write because they have something that they feel will help somebody else. Also, there are people who think, well, if I write a book, I'll be rich. If that's your motivation for writing a book, you might want to look for something else because you don't always get rich by writing a book. But it's a combination of reasons why people decide to write a book. It could be fame, it could be fortune, or it could be wanting to help someone else. So it just depends on the individual. One example of someone who wrote a book to help somebody else is Pat Edwards. She had a sister who suffered from breast cancer, and she wanted to write a book to let other people know, what questions do you ask the doctor? Some people don't have a clue as to what to ask when they find themselves in a situation like that. So she wrote a little book that has all kind of questions that a person should ask the doctor, and she called it The Little Pink Purse of Courage. It's a beautiful book, a very informative book, and although she wrote it to help somebody else, because she did that, it also brought attention to her and some fortune, too.
Okay. Once the decision is made to write the
You're breaking up. I didn't quite hear that question. What is the question?
I'm sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Restate your question, please.
Okay. Once the decision is made to write the book, what is the first step and the following step?
Okay. Once you decide to write a book, first of all, you need to know what you're going to write about. Is it going to be a book of fiction? Is it going to be a book of poetry? Is it going to be a how-to book? Once you decide what it is you're going to write about, then I would suggest that you get a three-ring binder and put tabs in it. So as you come up with ideas, you jot those ideas down in your binder. Now, once you do that and you get enough material, of course, you want to transfer that to a digital file. You want to go on Word and start putting it on the computer, because once you get ready to send that manuscript in, it needs to be in a form that the publisher would accept. Okay?
Okay. What if, in some cases, the author has great ideas, information to share, but did not excel in English 101?
Oh, now that's a good question, because that's a common problem. Almost all of us have a book inside. But the thing is, how do we write it? everybody's not good at writing. Everybody's not good at grammar. Some people are terrible when it comes to punctuation. But don't worry about that,
because if you put your ideas down, there's someone called an editor who can help organize your ideas and straighten those ideas out and put them in a form that other people can understand. So don't ever worry about, I can't write because I wasn't that great in English. That should not be a hindrance to writing a book. If you have ideas, that's all you need. Put your ideas in that three-ring binder that I talked about. Let somebody else worry about putting it in a good form. You just get your ideas out. Okay?
Okay. Is it better for a new author to publish conventionally or self-publish?
Okay, well, let me give you the difference in that. Now, to publish conventionally means that you want to go through a mainstream publisher. Now, in New York City, you have what's called the Big Five. Those are the five biggest publishers in the country. They don't take books from anybody. You may send them a book. You may think it's the greatest book ever written and send it to them, but they might not think so. You might not hear from them for 2 or 3 years, or they might just put it in the trash because it's not good enough. They don't know who you are. And unless you have a big name, unless you are a big, well-known politician or a person with celebrity status, they won't even look at your book. So what you have to do sometimes is go the other route, self-publish. Now, there are smaller publishers who can help you self-publish your book. That is what my company does. My company helps authors to self-publish. That's Emerge Publishing Group. Now, let me give you a good example. Hill Harper, the young African-American male on CSI, wrote a great book, sent it to a conventional publisher. They turned him down. So he found another route to publish the book. His books became so popular that the conventional publisher took notice. Now, instead of him going to them, they're running him down. Let us publish your book. So sometimes there's not a choice in going conventionally or self-publishing. Sometimes you have to start out self-publishing or start out with a smaller publisher. If you already have a great name, if you're Barack Obama or somebody with that status, okay, they're glad to take your book. If you're somebody that's seen on TV all the time, they will gladly take your book because they believe they can sell it because you're already popular. But if you're a no-name person, they never heard of you, they don't know who you are, they're not going to invest in you as a new author. Okay, so sometimes you have to take the other route. You have no choice. Okay?
Okay. I'm sorry, continue. Were you getting ready to say something else, Miss Betty?
Excuse me?
Were you getting ready to say something else?
No. You have another question?
Oh, Audrey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As your co-host, I was wondering, can I ask her a question real quick?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Go ahead, Ms. Pastor.
One of my questions was, as a motivational speaker, what's your most important advice you give to people that you speak to? Like, what's one thing that you might say over and over again to every audience that you speak to?
First of all, I tell every audience that you were created with greatness inside of you because you were created by the Master Creator. You can do anything you set your mind to. One of the most important things that I tell young people is set your goals and then work towards meeting those goals. Don't ever let anybody tell you what you can't do, because you are capable of doing anything that you set your mind to. And once a goal is set and met, that's success. So when you set a goal and you reach it, reset that goal and keep moving on with, keep moving forward. And don't listen to the naysayers. Let no negativity come into your space.
Thank you, Miss Betty.
You're welcome.
Okay, Miss Betty, what are some of the best and books of writing a manuscript?
Okay, well, there are some basics that everybody first to do, and one of them I talked to you about is using the binder. And even after you use your binder, don't get rid of it. After you put the chapters in, you keep it, and you put everything on a hard disk. Now, another thing you have to do is find some time to write, sometime early in the morning or late in the evening, whenever you have some time, write. Be aware of the nouns and verbs you use. Use some action nouns and verbs because you have to paint a picture with the nouns and verbs that allow the reader to see what it is that you see. One good thing to do is look at newspaper writing. Certain words are emphasized at the beginning of the sentence. And each chapter should start off with the main paragraph, while the most important sentence starts off the paragraph. Also, use proper terms. Stay away from regional terms. Somebody in this part of the country might understand a term that somebody in another part of the country will not understand. So don't use regional terms. Use language that everybody can understand and talk on paper. Write like you talk so that it is easy to read. Use proper paragraphs and be active because once you write a book, you are considered an expert. So make sure whatever you have in your book is accurate. Then there's formatting, but you won't have to worry about that too much because once you write it, you're going to turn it over to somebody who's going to format it for you. They may even typeset it for you or index it. And if you can, add visuals, add pictures, add charts, depending on what kind of book it is you're writing. So there's just some little things that you should be aware of. Also the price and how you're going to price your book, who's going to print it. Copyright. Once you write that book, you need to get it copyrighted. Now, when you write it, it's yours. So it's already copyright protected once you write it, but it is not copyright registered. So to give yourself more protection, register your book with the U.S. Copyright Office. So that way you have double protection. Okay? So there's some nuts and bolts. I have more in my book entitled You Can Be an Author. We can't cover everything here, but that gives you a good idea of what some of the nuts and bolts are of writing a manuscript.
Okay. How important is editing and proofreading, and should I do it myself?
Okay, now let me give you a difference here. Proofreading is a little bit different from editing. Now, proofreading, you're doing spell checks, and once you transfer from your binder to your computer, you can turn on your spell check, and it will check for misspelled words. That's one thing, checking for, you know, obvious errors. That's proofreading. But editing is quite a bit different because you're going into more detail. Are my ideas clear? Does it flow? And in that situation, you need another set of eyes. Even the proofreading, after you've proofread it yourself, you need a second set of eyes. You need somebody fresh to look at it because you're writing it. So you can read it several times and not see the error. But the minute you turn it over to somebody else, they can pick out an error that you missed. And I have had that happen in my case where I wrote the book, and I know I read the manuscript several times before it went into print. And 3 years after it's published, I found an error, something that I read over and over and over and didn't really catch it until 3 years later. So it's always important to have a second set of eyes to look at your manuscript. Although you may do it yourself first, still get somebody else to look at it. Okay, you understand that?
Yes. Okay, writing the book is one thing, but how do I promote and sell the book?
Okay. Now, you can have the best product in the world, you can have the best book in the world, but if nobody knows you have it and how to get it and where to find it, it does not do you any good. So writing a book is the same thing as having a business. You may make the best potato pies in the world, but if nobody knows where you're located, how to get to you, you won't sell a single potato pie, nor will you sell a single book. So you have to promote. Some of the things you can do on your own is you can do things like sending out review copies to people so they can review your book, and then they'll send you something about your book in writing. You can use those later as testimonies. And then you want to email everybody on your list and let them know that you have a book. You may even put a little blurb or a little excerpt from the book in your email. And you know what? Don't ask them to buy your book. Instead, ask them that they will forward your email to everybody on their list, and then this way it could become viral. Now, what do I mean by viral? There's something called viral marketing. It's just like a virus. One person sneezes, 10 people catch a cold and spread it to 100 others. They, in turn, spread it to another 1,000. That's the way viral marketing works, and you want it to go viral. It's just like some of the videos you see on YouTube where you see a popular video that has had a million hits. That means that video has gone viral. That's what you want to do with your book. You want your book listed online everywhere you can. You can contribute to articles. You can put something in the email signature. Don't just sign off with your name, Mary Jones. Sign off Mary Jones, best-selling author, book. You can be an author. You can get this book at Amazon.com. Give them all the information. Give them your website addresses, your email addresses, and just sell yourself in a few lines in an email signature. Also, you can do a news release. Anything that you can think of that will get your book out there and in front of other people, of course you should have a website where somebody can go and look at your book and maybe even look at an excerpt. And how about what you're doing now? Blog Talk Radio. High Tech rules the day. Blog Talk Radio was launched, I think, in 2006, and now it has over 2 million listeners a month, and the service is free. How do they make their money? From advertising. So you can use this to also promote your book or whatever product you have. You can use it. Also, social media networking, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those are ways to promote your book. So once it's out there, don't stop there. Promote. And if you promote, you can sell. Okay?
Hey, Arjanae.
Go ahead, Tasha.
No, I think we should take questions from the audience right now. So I'm asking the audience, like, can everyone press 1 on their phone to talk with Dr. Betty? So... Okay. Hi, Monet. You are now on air. Do you have a question for Dr. Betty?
Yes, I do. My question is, what is the most difficult task about running a publishing company?
The most difficult task is finding the authors who want to write the book, or the authors who have written the book. And once you find them, then you've got to determine the best program for each one of those authors. Every author is different. So you've got to find the best way to not only get their book published, but to find the best way to help promote the authors. Because you want all of them to do well.
Any
question? Anybody with the area code... You can go ahead and get your question.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Knighton. How are you?
Fine.
My name is Stephanie Evans, and I've been listening to you on Blog Talk and our youth. And I just want to ask, I'm sure you've had interaction with your writers, and I'm sure there have been some anecdotal stories that you've come up with from your some of your authors, you know, and trying to get published. Can you give us any some stories or some of the challenges you face with not only getting authors, but once you've gotten them, getting them to publish their book or to write their book?
Well, the only one I can think of now is a situation that I've had with the international authors. I have a couple of authors in Jamaica, and although we've been able to get the book done, we have had the biggest problem getting the book to them once we get the book done, because the international market, shipping internationally, is a little bit different than shipping in the continental United States. And there have been a couple of cases where they were supposed to get the book like 3 days later and they didn't get it to 3 weeks later. As a matter of fact, that was a situation where I sent out a proof, they didn't get it, so I sent it out again. By the time I sent out the second proof, then they were getting the first proof, so they got two proofs on the same day. So sometimes you run into situations like that where you may have a shipping problem, but that was due to the international situation. So every situation is different. We have authors who would take forever to get their changes in, and then as soon as they get the changes in, they say, well, now, will I get my book tomorrow? Well, not really. You won't get it tomorrow. But it's just great working with all of them, with all the different authors and different personalities, the different kinds of books. There's so many different kinds of books that we have done. We have done books on history. We have done books on art that really traces all the way back to the African art. We have done inspirational books, faith-based books, all kinds of books. So it's fascinating working with so many different authors with so many different kinds of books. Even with the children's books, we have, there's one children's book that called Don't Call Me Names. It's a book about children with various disabilities, and it teaches other children not to pick on children who are different. And that's the kind of book that I think should be in every classroom and every school district, because it teaches you to respect other people. And that book now is in every classroom in Davis Elementary in the Muskogee County School District in Columbus, Georgia. And we're hoping that one day they can get that same book here, because there's something called bullying. Sometimes kids get bullied because they're different. They look different, but we need to teach kids to respect children who are different, and that book does that. So that's a case that answers one of the earlier questions about why do people write books. People write books sometimes to help other people, and that's a good example of a book that was written to help other people.
So, Dr. Betty, are your books available through a wide
Amazon.com. Every book
Amazon?
Yeah, every book that we publish is available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. When we publish a book, if we publish it through our regular fulfillment and distribution center, which in some cases we may not be able to go that route because it's an odd-shaped book or some type specialty book, but when we go through our regular distribution center and fulfillment center, the book is available worldwide for online retailers, because once it goes into something called books in print, any online retail bookseller can pick up that title. And if they get a sale for that title, then all they have to do is contact my distribution center, fulfillment center, and it's all transparent to me, order the book, it may funnel through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever, but it's all taken care of. So the book is available worldwide for online book retailers. And the book industry is changing. It is changing rapidly because of the advent of the internet and the online booksellers. the brick-and-mortar stores are having problems. We've already heard about some chains that are closing down some of their bookstores. It's because of the competition from the online booksellers.
Okay. I have a question, one more question before I go. How do you determine the price of the book? That's always intrigued me.
Okay. Now, the price of the book. You can only charge what the market will bear. If it's 100 pages in the books, you can't charge $20, $30 for the books. You have to go maybe less than $20 for the book. So it has to do with the number of pages in the book. Now, sometimes academic books that are used academically in schools and colleges, they are naturally higher-priced books regardless of the size. But for other books, regular books, you have to be aware of the size of your book, how many pages are in your book, and then price it accordingly, because if it's overpriced, it is not going to sell. We also have to be aware that you can't price it too low either, because what's going to happen, once it goes out onto Amazon.com, Amazon is going to have to compete with other online booksellers. Therefore, they are going to discount the book. If you price the book at $14.95, Amazon is going to try to sell it for $12.95. Now, the other online booksellers are going to come on, and they're going to try to undercut Amazon. They're going to say, well, I'll sell it for $11.95. So there's always a pricing war out online. So you have to be careful not to price it too low because we're going to be discounted anyway. So it's always a little tricky getting that pricing just right.
Great. Thank you. Fascinating. Back to you, Ms. Anjanay. Thank you.
Okay. There's someone else that has a question for Ms. Betty. 6481. You're on air. You may ask a question.
Ms. Betty, I have two questions.
One is,
do you have a class or some kind of workshop that would help me get my thoughts out of me? I've heard everything that you've said, but I guess I think I may need a little bit more help than just writing in a notebook. I just wanted to know if there's any more help that you might be able to provide to help me get my book actually out of my head and on paper.
Well, you know, that was a wonderful workshop a few months ago. It was called Writing Your Book in 31 Days. We haven't offered it again since then, but that was a wonderful workshop because people were able to sit in the classroom and actually work on writing their books right then and getting their thoughts out of their head. We have not offered one recently, but I'm sure there'll be some in the future just to help you pull those thoughts out of your head. Now, once you do write in that binder, though, you can always submit what you have written to the publisher. Well, not any publisher, but a small publisher like me, you can submit it, and then I can tell you, well, you know what? You need to strengthen this section, or you need to add to this, because I have done that in an instance when I wrote my last book. I sent it to a guru in the industry to find out what parts were weak, what parts I need to strengthen, and, of course, he told me, at a price, of course, but he told me, and I was able to go and strengthen it. So sometimes you just need to let somebody look at what you have, and it'll jump right out at them, and I'm sure you know that because you have, in the past, have been able to help us as an editor do some things like that. You need to explain this part, you need to strengthen this part, you need to, you know, this part doesn't flow. There are people who can help you with that, but they have to see what you have written so far.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. One more question, please. What do you do about writer's block? What happens when a person has written, you know, but knows that there's still more but just cannot get it out? What do you advise people when they just can't figure out the next thing to say?
You know what? Everybody, I don't care who the writer is, I don't care how famous, I don't care how many books they have written, everybody experiences writer's block.
And when you're staring at that blank sheet of paper and you can't think of anything to write, you need to just put it aside, come back to it the next day or a couple of hours later. But just relax. Don't panic because you went blank, because it happens to everybody. Nobody escapes writer's block. Now, I explained earlier what I've been doing to increase my writing muscles is to do that objectwriting.com, do that word every day, and that helps me to build up my writing muscle. It's a website, www.objectwriting.com. They give you one word a day. You write on it 10 minutes and no longer than 10 minutes. I don't care what the word is. You spend 10 minutes writing on it. That kind of stretches and builds up your writer's muscle. Because writing is just like anything else. You have to build up the muscle. And that's a big, I have found that to be a big help to me. So, but just put it aside for a minute or a couple of hours or a day and then come back to it. And your thoughts will start to flow again.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it for that. Back to you, Ajane.
Okay, thank you, audience, for your questions. Miss Betty, in your latest book, you mentioned the best kept secret in publishing. Can you give us an idea of what the secret is?
Okay, well, now I can give you an idea of the secret, but you have to promise not to tell anybody else. Okay?
Okay.
Now, actually, what the secret is something called ancillary publishing. And basically what that is, I know we can't cover it all here, but I do cover it in more detail in my book. But what it is, if once you have your book done, for example, I did this book, You Can Be an Author. Now, what I can do now is take this same book, this same file, and there are at least 6 or 7 other publishers out there who will also publish the same book. And they would do it for little or nothing, in some cases nothing, in some cases $30. Now, why would they do that? Why? It's because they are going to sell this book to their customers. Everybody has their own customer base. So they take your book that they don't have to do any work because your file is already print ready. So why not take it and sell it to their customers? So now you have a book, the same book, that's being marketed by 7 publishers instead of 1 publisher. And one of those, Lightning Source, of course, is they're sending it out all over the world. And then you've got Create Space. They're tied in with Amazon. And you've got Smashwords and Lulu and Kindle. E-books now are becoming very big. You have e-books and then you have the Kindle. Now, the Kindle is a little... something like a little electronic notepad, I don't know what you would call it, but instead of having a bookshelf with 100 books on it, now you can get 3,000 books on a little flat pad that's not much bigger than a little thin book, okay? Now, this book, You Can Be an Author, my latest book, is on the Kindle, okay? So somebody can just download it on the Kindle, and when you download books on the Kindle, sometimes they're free, sometimes they're 99 cents, sometimes they're $2.99. When you buy it from the bookstore or from Amazon, you might spend $15, $16, $20 for it. But if you're getting it on the Kindle, you're getting it for a fraction of the price. So that ancillary publishing is just a way of getting your book out there 7 times instead of 1 time. And getting it out there for little or nothing, because once you have created that book, now you have a print-ready file that with a few modifications, you can send it to 7 different publishers. And
okay. You also mentioned empire building. How does it relate to writing and publishing? Miss Betty?
Back on.
Hello?
Hello, Miss Betty, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. I was cut off for some reason. Yes, but I was finished with that answer.
Okay. Well, you also mentioned empire building. What is that, and how does it relate to writing and publishing?
Okay. Empire building is basically taking your book and using it as a foundation to build other means of income. The book is one means of income, but you use that as a calling card. You use that as a foundation, and from that one book, you can do seminars, because remember, once you write a book, you're considered to be the expert in that subject. So now you can conduct seminars, you can conduct teleseminars, you can do coaching programs. A good example of that is a popular infomercial on real estate investing, and the book was only $39. Well, after purchasing the book, the buyers were later contacted and offered coaching in real estate at a price of $6,000. Wow, what a jump in price. So some hourly rates for coaching range from $125 an hour to $500 or more, much more in some cases. So just from writing that book, that was an opportunity now to provide coaching. Also, you have e-signs, you can write articles, you can do e-books and public speaking. Once you write a book on a subject, you're going to be invited to speak on that subject. Sometimes you can make more money speaking than you actually do from the book. So that's a strategy that a lot of speakers are using now. They may be a speaker first and decide to write a book just to have a product to sell when their speaking is done. When their speaking is over, they have books in the back of the room to sell. So you're really using this book as a basis for creating other empire, other means of income, and that's what's called empire building.
Thank you, Miss Betty. We have a caller with the last four digits, 9177. So if you please have a question, if you have a question, please ask now.
Yes, good evening. This is Apostle Teresa Melton, and I have implored Dr. Betty Knighton to be the publisher of my first book, and she has truly been a tremendous mentor on my behalf, and I'm so afraid of going into the new level, and she has just cast away all of the fear with the latest new book. I encourage everyone to purchase her new book on You Can Be an Author, because that has eased some of the tension that I've had for many years on how to get started. And I'm so excited about Emerge Publishing Company being on the cutting edge here in America, and I just believe that this is her time and season that we should band together and support her publishing company. And I found her to be a very reputable woman of God and very knowledgeable in so many areas. So I'm excited about this talk show on tonight, and I say hats off to her, and also invite each of you all to get that book so you all be able to write your book as fast as I write mine.
Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I have a question for the audience. If anyone would like to ask their question, please press 1 on their phone to talk with Dr. Betty Knighton. Thanks. Oh, but while we're waiting, I do have a question. It's more of a statistical question about your publishing company. Some of my questions were like, how long have you had this? What would you say have you had from, like, teaching other authors how to self-publish? Have you had any best-selling authors come out of your publishing company? And do you publish any type of books, or is there a requirement on what type of books you help to self the authors to self-publish?
Okay. let's see, best-selling authors. We have some on the way to becoming best-selling authors. The company is only 3 years old, going into its fourth year, so it is an infant in the industry, but it has been doing well in terms of making contact with people who want to write books but just couldn't find anybody who would help them or accept them. Now, we've written, most of the authors are inspirational, self-help, educational, children's book. We even have a 12-year-old author who has written a book on technology, and that's one of your fellow masterminds is Malachi Monroe, who is 12 years old, but he was 11 when he wrote the book. So there is a variety of books that are written, and we're waiting on that blockbuster. But we consider all our authors to be best-selling authors.
Thank you. With the person with the last four digits, 2797, if you have a question, please ask now. You're on air. If you have the last four digits, 2797, it's a 703 area code. He dropped off. Okay, never mind, but thank you anyways. Back to you, Ajane. If Ajane is not there, I guess I have a question.
Excuse me, I'm here. Okay. Would caller with the last four digits 6481 please ask your question?
Thank you.
Right now on air.
Thank you, Ajane and Natasha. This is Sharon Jackson again. I'm calling because, Miss Betty, your profession is so unique and so provides such a niche. How did you decide to be a publisher?
That's a great question. Actually, since I've always loved books, I've always thought about writing a book. But I also thought about how in the world could I get some of those publishers, Simon & Schuster, people like that, to publish a book if I wrote the book. And after doing a little research and finding out how difficult it was to get those big publishers to publish the book of the average person with no name recognition, I realized that I might have to take the other route, the self-publishing route. And so it was while I was in Maryland waiting on my grandson to have surgery that I thought about this. And I said, you know what? I can publish my own book. And I can also help other people to publish theirs. So I think I'm going to start a publishing company. Meanwhile, I had become involved with Masterminders, and we were always setting goals and reaching for the stars, and that was one thing I decided to do. Hey, let's go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to become a publisher. I'll publish my books. I'll publish books for other people who can't go that conventional route. That's basically how it got started.
How exciting is that?
Yes.
Thank you. Good answer. Back to you,
okay.
Ajane and Natasha.
You are welcome. Okay. Caller with the last 4-0-3-4, I have another question. It seems as though you want to ask a question. Go ahead. You're on air. Monet?
Yes.
Would you like to ask me another question? Your hand is raised right now. Okay. Never mind. Okay. Miss Betty.
Yes.
Final words to those potential authors, and what is the age of the youngest author you have worked with?
Well, I take the second question first. The age of the youngest author that I've worked with is, of course, Malachi Monroe. He was 11 years old when he wrote the book, The ABCs of Technology. So that is now in a mini book form, and it will soon be available to the masses. He is the youngest author that I've ever worked with, and he worked rapidly. He was in a workshop for the author's workshop for how to author in 31 days, and he happened to be the only young person in that workshop, or the only child in the workshop, and he was the first one to get his book out of the 10 authors in that class. Malachi was number one in terms of getting his book completed. So it doesn't matter the age. You can be young. Any of you can write a book. There's something that you have information on. There's something that you know a lot about. And even if you don't, there's the Internet. You can find out anything and write a book. It doesn't have to be a big book. It can be 30 pages, 40 pages, 50 pages. And that's part of the any final words to those potential authors. That's part of my final words. It's not a closed society, the world of published authors. You can be an author. Making that first step is the hardest part, but you can do this. And you see, the experts in the field have already saved you a lot of time. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from these experts. In my book, there are all kind of valuable resources that will help you in your book writing project. But don't read the book and put it down without doing something about it. Procrastination will not get you to the finish line, but action will. So if you have a desire to write a book, you can do it now. And it goes beyond book writing. Anything you want to do, any dream you want to bring to reality, you can do it. You have the power to do it. Remember, I told you that greatness is already within you. All you have to do is tap into it. And I really want to thank you for inviting me on this Blog Talk Radio show this evening.
Okay, well, on behalf of the Masterminders, you are very welcome.
This is Natasha.
We have one more audience member with a question. They have the area code, well, the last four digits of their number is 2797. Please proceed.
Dr. Knighty?
Yes?
This is Annette Ireland from Springfield, Virginia. I'd just like to say, first of all, thank you for taking the time out to share your knowledge with us, and that we actually appreciate it. And I can say this, I've learned something about publishing a book. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Miss Annette, for your question. I meant your comment. There's one more audience member before we 9177. If you have a question, please ask now.
I've already gave my comments.
Okay. All right. All right. Back to you, Ajane.
Okay. Thank you. Miss Betty, I'm sorry, Doc. Would you give our listeners
and any additional information that you would like our listeners to know.
That's basically it, but I just want everybody to know that you can do it. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Just do it. Whatever it is. Even if it's not writing a book, just do it.
Hello? Okay, my last minute comment is, for anyone that was interested in this Blog Talk radio show and Dr. Betty, you can contact her at BettyKnighton@AOL.com, www.emergepublishers.com, www.bettyspeaks.com, and on her Twitter, it's twitter.com/BettyKnighton. Thank you.
Okay, well, once again, Ms. Dr. Betty, thank you so much for being on this call. And once again, I'm Ajane Mason, and my co-host is Natasha. And we hope to see you on the call again soon.
Thank you.